We appreciate you being here, and we're continuing our series of lessons on great chapters of the Bible, or some chapters of the Bible, however you'd like to word it. We've been studying in the book of Genesis. I looked at the creation, chapter 1 and 2, and the first family, first home, and how sin came into that family. I was listening to radio on the way home and tuned in to some fella preaching. So a lot of times I don't know what their background is, but he was talking about the creation because he was looking at new beginnings, you know, as we start this year and how we think of new beginnings. And he had a little story on it that I thought was a little interesting. He said that people throughout the years have gotten together and discussed the creation and come up with all kind of ideas about how this world came into being. Some of them believing that God created the heavens and the earth. Others thinking that the Big Bang theory was plausible. Anyway, he said there was this group of professionals who had gathered together and they were discussing the creation. And they were speculating as to who was the first professional that was upon this earth and that was on the scene. The surgeon says that he was, because Eve was created from one of Adam's ribs, and he would have been needed. The second one was an engineer, and he said no, that he was, because he was needed due to the earth being void and without form and, you know, in chaos. Politician spoke up and said, no, I was the first. And who do you think brought about all that chaos? So anyway, sometimes things get too serious when you talk about the creation, but it's hard for me to be serious when somebody talks about a Big Bang theory, even though they've got a whole bunch of ABCs and other letters after their word, after their name. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth. We believe that because God's word tells us that. We believe that also because we are reasoning people, and that's the only reasonable approach. And that's the only reasonable and plausible explanation in my mind and many others that's been given. So this first section, this introduction, the book of Genesis, that's kind of an outline without using the chapters, but we have the creation, of course, in the first home, the beginning of sin that we've talked about. Come to chapter 6 and we have the flood where Noah is seen as one who walked with God, the Tower of Babel, where the people got to thinking too highly of themselves and thought that they were God, in effect. The faith of Abraham from chapter 12 on, and then promised child, Jacob, to Israel, the father of a great nation. Then we had Joseph going down into Egypt, according to the providence of God. And then later, the children of Israel finding themselves in Egypt whenever there was a time of drought. That was toward the end of the book of Genesis. Tonight we'll be looking at one chapter in the book of Exodus. There came a king or Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. So things changed in Egypt. And God's people were in bondage in Israel, in Egypt rather. Hebrew male children later were ordered killed. We find the birth and the bringing up of Moses, and numerous things about Moses, the people being taken out of bondage in Egypt on the way to the land of promise, and how they rebelled against God, even though they had crossed the Red Sea on dry land, they'd seen miracles. And they murmured, and later we come to the point of the lesson tonight. To Exodus chapter 19. We'll be looking at Exodus 19 and 20 and a few other verses. But if you turn to Exodus chapter 19, And we find that God's people come to Mount Sinai. These people are a nation on the move. There was no code of conduct, no rules for them to follow. And Moses was the one in charge, so to speak, and Aaron his spokesman, but God had not laid down the law, so to speak. So he is going to give his people a law to live by, and among those things will be the Ten Commandments, which we'll discuss more in detail. Look down at verse 4 of chapter 19. "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians," this is God speaking to the children of Israel, "and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Remember, Peter refers to Christians as being a peculiar people, a people chosen of God in the New Testament. Verse 9, he says, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are similar words used by Peter. "These are the words which thou shalt speak," as he speaks to Moses, "unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." In other words, he went back and spoke to the Lord. Then Moses goes to the top of the mountain, Mount Sinai. In the desert air, people have tried to find that place. And I think there is a mountain or Sinai region over in Israel that they speak of today. The second page of my outline, I thought it would be well to put down the Ten Commandments in an abbreviated form. Because sometimes I know I had to go in my Bible to see where, especially the first couple of commandments, where one of them started and at least where the second one started and where it ended and the third one picked up. But if we look at chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, let's read that together as this is the backbone, I guess you would say, of the spiritual law, the moral guidance for the people of God. And as we look at this, we'll find that the first four, I believe I said, the first four emphasize our duty, or man's duty at that time, the children of Israel, to God. And then verses or commandments 5 through 10 emphasize man's duty to man. So God saw not only a need to have his people know more about him and to treat him with respect. They had been in Egypt where they worshiped many, many different gods. That was the nature of many of the plagues, was to attack those gods. And we find that God, one of the first things he puts before these people is their standing with him and what he expects of them in regard to their respect for him. And then the remainder is how should you get along with each other. There were about a couple of million people, and they had to deal with each other. They had to get along. What was it they needed to know in order to properly behave themselves and properly act and properly get along in their society? God spake all these words, saying, "I'm the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of all the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Number one. Number two, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Thou shalt, this is still number two, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You know, a lot of times as we look at the Old Testament, we wonder, well, why study the Old Testament? Well, there are a lot of things we can learn about God. There are a lot of things we can learn about how God dealt with His people and how people dealt with their God. And from that we get an example, and we find out more about the God that we serve. Verse 7, we have the third of the 10. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. People don't want to see these 10 listed anywhere, do they? I see some people have them in their yards, along the highways, along the streets. But most of your, the ACLU and other varmints like that are trying to keep these 10 commandments away from the sight of people, and especially out of public buildings. Number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days, and then he continues to talk about the Sabbath down through verse 11. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. And in it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Commandment number 5, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. So now we're getting to those situations with one another. How are sons to deal, how are daughters to deal with their father and mother? There's going to be a problem of authority, a need for discipline, a need for roles. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Number 6. Thou shalt not kill. Number 7 in verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Number 8 in verse 15. Thou shalt not steal. Number 9 in verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy labor. Thou shalt not lie. Verse 17 is commandment number 10. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So these are the 10 that I've just listed on page 2 of our outline, so that if you keep these outlines, you can refer to them. If someone is interested, sometimes people wonder what the 10 commandments are and how you tie these down. And these are very important. Most of them are repeated in the New Testament. Now, as we've read the on page 3 of our outline, we'll look at that for a few minutes. As I mentioned, there are two groups of commandments. The first 4 are directed by God to the people, and they are in respect to man's duties to God. God said, this is what you owe to me. Don't have any other gods before me. I come first. I come first. We find about these commandments that Moses received. Look in Exodus 31 and 18. A statement made there that I think is interesting. Chapter 31 of Exodus, verse 18. Speaking of God giving the Ten Commandments to Moses. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon the mount, after he'd spoken to him, 2 tables of testimony. tables of stone written with the finger of God. I read that in a couple of places. God did the writing himself. So you see, God wrote, he used English. No, he didn't. I don't know what he wrote to him. Hebrew, I guess, because he'd understood that was his language, Moses. So God wrote it after he had spoken it. So this was something that was truly holy for them when they kept these tables. You know, they kept them in the Ark of the Covenant. I believe with some other things. And this was an important thing for them. And it was important. No one dropped that. This was something that represented God. It represented something that God had actually written. So it was very, very important to the people to keep these. Now, this is not the extent of the law. You know, you can read on through Exodus and throughout the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, to learn more and more about the many other laws that God presented and had for his people to obey. In verse three, of course, is the first of the commandments. In our outline, though, I go to verse 2, that God is their leader and their lawgiver, as it says in verse 2. And verse 3 is where we have the first of the commandments. These people had been down in Egypt, so they were familiar with strange gods. They were, they were indoctrinated to a certain extent because that's what they had seen. I don't know how much time the Egyptians allowed them to have to worship. Since they were in bondage, I would imagine they were at the mercy of the Egyptians as far as how much work they had to do and how long they had to work. But God said, you no other God before me. I am first. I am to be first. Nothing is to replace me in your life. And we know that that is carried over to the New Testament. And God wants us to put him first, to have priorities in life, to seek the kingdom, to seek his righteousness. In verse 4, we find the second commandment there, not making any graven image. God refers to every form of idolatry, and every form of idolatry is thus prohibited. As we later come to the New Testament, we see that even idolatry ran rampant that time. When Paul came to Athens in Acts chapter 17, the people there worshiped many, many idols. They had no particular god, for the most part, that they were interested in. They just had all these gods, and they had that inscription to the unknown god. And Paul proceeded to talk to them about that. God does not want to be an unknown God to his people. These are the people that he's chosen above any other people. And they are to be his people and to be guided by his law throughout hundreds of years until Christ would come. The promise that had been made back in Genesis chapter 3:15 after the sin of Adam and Eve, that one day there would be deliverance. There would be deliverance from bondage. And we find that the people of God here in the Old Testament are delivered from bondage in Egypt, but not delivered from sin. And then they are presented and given a law which indicated that these were things that they were not to do. These were not guidelines. These were not the 10 suggestions. These were the 10 commandments. So God doesn't want them, in verse 5, he doesn't want them to corrupt their worship. We've had them throughout time, throughout history with judges and various kings. They would take up with the gods of other people. We find that the kings of Israel, the kings of Judah, would form alliances with other nations. And they would marry into those nations, and they would thus pick up the gods of those nations. We remember King Ahab and his notorious wife, I guess you would say, Jezebel, and how she corrupted him and the influence she had upon him and upon many of the people at that time. as they worshiped, as she and her people had worshiped Baal. In verse 6, God says that he will show mercy to those that love him and keep his commandments, but he will not show mercy to those who do not keep his commandments. And he's calling on his people to follow his commandments. In verse 7, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. And a lot of times that has to do with going to court and telling the truth. Swearing, that's taking God's name in vain. And a lot of people use foul language. We find it more and more on television and on the radio. These announcers, these people that put on these programs are getting away with more and more as we allow more and more. If we're not careful, we're going to find that as society allows more and more of the swearing, of lying, of adultery, of other corrupt things on television, we're going to find ourselves, if we're not careful, when we're teaching people, we're going to find that they are very, very corrupt, very, very different from the kind of life that we've been taught to lead by God. And that's what God's people would find when they would go into the land. And see, at the end of their journey, they're going into the land where there is nothing but idolatry. And God wants them grounded in the faith. And because of their initial lack of faith and their initial rebellion to God, it required 40 years of learning, 40 years of correspondence courses, I guess you might say, for God's people to get ready, or to try to get ready for the time that they were going to be confronted with all types of idolatry, all types of sin and degradation. You remember how Lot had to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah, and he chose that area. Abraham took an area that was somewhat away from that, and not as good as land as Lot chose, but Lot made the wrong choice for his family and for himself. But making empty vows, swearing, profane language. Some people can't talk without cursing. And I'm sure that you've been around some, maybe even in your families, kinfolks that just can't get by. And I've had some people in schools where I've been, in business where I've been, that just thought that it was expected of them, I guess, to talk in that fashion. And I never respected that. And for the most part, telling dirty jokes. A lot of people don't think there's anything wrong with a dirty joke. And I know one situation brought that forward to me as far as Christians. And of course, you might say, and preachers might say, well, we know that people in churches of Christ read the Bible and they know not to use God's name in vain. We know as Christians of all people not to use God's name in a way that we shouldn't, because we know God's word. We're a people of the book. And yet, Brother A.T. Pate and I were visiting and having a meeting in an area. And we went by a place, a business in that area. We were going to introduce ourselves to some of the folks, but some of the folks didn't know either one of us. And we went in and we were looking for somebody. And before they knew who A.T. was, they said a bunch of curse words. And this was one of the leaders of the church there where we were holding the meeting. Not one of the elders, but one of the leading men there. And his face did turn a little bit red after he found out that he was talking to the preacher who was coming in for the, quote, revival meeting that the local congregation was to have. So we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that our children have been exposed to it. Our grandchildren have been exposed to it. I hear some of my grandkids use words that I never use. No, they're not curse words, but they pick up these words from people and they use them, and they just don't sound good to my ears. Because I was taught by my mama not to, even though I heard those words around other people. I was taught, and most of us have been taught, not to even use some of those slang words. Because to me, a lot of slang words that are used are the kinfolks of the actual word that a person is thinking of, but just is not going to say. And so I find them saying that, and I find myself getting to the point of correcting them too. Of saying, okay, use that word home or somewhere else if you want to, but don't use it around me. Don't use that word around me. And don't use that word around this house. We don't use that word. And I don't know what other people think, what the sisters, brothers and sisters, or sons or daughter-in-laws or whatever, but that's not really my problem. That's what I figure. They need to teach their children a little bit better than that. And so if someone says that word, and they're going to do it. Because I was in another meeting, and we were riding on a bus with a bunch of people we picked up for church. And a gospel meeting again with A.T. Pate. And there was a young man on there who attended church with us during that meeting. And he told a joke. He didn't know what he was saying in that joke. And he just told it flat out. And boy, that wasn't anything but silence. And his mama, I don't know whether she understood the joke or not. Some of us maybe had been a little naive as we were growing up and never heard any of that kind of language. So he didn't know what he was saying. And man, I wonder, where in the world is he coming from? But it didn't come from his parents that way. This is something he heard another kid say. And he was repeating it, and probably for the first time around his parents. Jesus repeated this particular commandment number 3 of not taking God's name in vain in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and verse 33. And a number of the commandments are mentioned in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus goes beyond the commandment and goes back to the attitude of heart in those situations. As to what leads, you know, everything that we say or do leads, it has its beginning in a thought in our mind. Verse 8 was to keep the Sabbath day holy. The Sabbath day was given as a sign between God and Israel because of their deliverance from Egypt by the hand of God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. There's a lot. This is an important subject for us because there's so many people are not a whole. Well, I guess there's getting to be more and more. We used to think it's only the Seventh-day Adventists that had a problem with us meeting on Sunday, but it seems like even some fellow Christians have a problem with that now. They don't think there's anything wrong meeting on Friday night, on Saturday, or Sunday, Catholics or Baptists or. I think I've heard some churches of Christ meet on Friday, Saturday. You know, if you've got the ball game on Sunday morning. We don't want you to miss the church to go to the ball game, so we're going to make it easy for you. For you to put something else in that place, and you can put God first some other time, which is what I think about, and that's not the way they rationalize it, probably. That's the way I do. Look at Deuteronomy 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. What were the law of Moses? What were these commandments? Who were they for? Including keeping the Sabbath day. Look at chapter 5 of Deuteronomy verse 1. Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive today. The families that were there, the families that they would represent in the future, he was talking to those individuals. That's to whom the law was given. Look down to verse 15. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So the Sabbath day was not a day that was necessarily given for people of all time. It was given specifically to these individuals, these children of Israel, these descendants of Jacob, and to no other people. They had been the ones who had come out of the land of Egypt, and it was to cause them to remember that the Lord saved them and delivered them from Egypt. And so they kept this day as a holy day. Now, I made a note down at the bottom of my page. Today we meet on the first day of the week. Now, what kind of authority do we have for that? God says they were to meet on the seventh day of the week, on a Saturday. Why don't we meet on Saturday? Well, number one, because when he told them to keep the Sabbath, or when he spoke keep the Sabbath, he was speaking only to them. He was speaking to, and not just because he spoke to them, but because he said it related to a specific thing, and that they were to recall that. Just like the partaking of the Lord's Supper. People have taken the Lord's Supper, I've seen it, I don't know what you think about it, but they've taken the Lord's Supper at weddings. Personally, I don't think that is kosher, as the Jews would put it. I don't think that that's what's to be done. The Lord's Supper is in remembrance of Jesus till he comes again. And maybe they're saying, well, this is binding our marriage. Well, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it suggests that was the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Purpose of the Lord's Supper is a sober time, a serious time when we can think back on what Christ did for us. This do in remembrance of me. Remembering Jesus and remembering till he comes again, as set forth in 1 Corinthians 11. So today we meet on the first day of the week to honor Jesus who delivered us from the bondage of sin. You see a little bit of comparison. Now, why do we do that? Well, this is a very important day to Christians. Why is it an important day? When was Jesus resurrected? First day of the week. First day of the week. What better day to remember Jesus till he comes again than when he was raised from the dead? When he was raised from the dead and God's power was shown. About 50 days later, 50 days from the Passover, that was the beginning of the church. It began on a Sunday. The beginning of the church. And in Acts 20 and verse 7, the Christians at Troas met on the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, Paul spoke of the people at Corinth, to the people at Corinth, and told them as they met on the first day of the week to lay by in store. So this was seen by the Christians, the early Christians, as the time that God desired them to meet and give honor to his son. Okay, we're going to stop at that point. We'll begin at verse 12 on page 4 of our outline for our second lesson. I will look at honoring thy father and mother, the fifth commandment. The matter of killing, the matter of committing adultery, what the Bible says about that in the New Testament, stealing, bearing false witness, and coveting, covetousness. A number of things, some of these things, we say, no, I'll never do that, no. But then there might be one or two of these, covetousness. I would imagine at one time or another, we've all been guilty of that sin. Well, we'll discuss these We see that as far as application, there's application to be made. I think the number one thing we can say as we look at the Old Testament is that we learn examples to follow and examples of things to avoid. And we learn more about God as we read the Old Testament scriptures, the history of God's people, as we look at read the Proverbs, as we read the Psalms of David. David gives us a lot of insight into God, doesn't he? He tells us a lot about God. And I think that's essential for us as Christians. We have hope that one day God will keep His promise of giving us an eternal home. Well, what's been the experience of God's people in the past? Did God keep His promise to them? We find out that He did. That God keeps His promises. So He will keep that promise for us. I think all here of accountable age are Christians tonight. If you desire our prayers on your behalf, wish to rededicate your life to Christ. If you have a need of anything of that nature, would you come as we sing this song to encourage you? Shall we stand?